Hello and welcome to Czech Books. This week I visited a very well-known author, Tereza Bedečková, in her flat in Malostrana, the oldest quarter in Prague. She's an author who seems to have a particular interest in the importance of not forgetting the past and in the ways individuals tell their stories. In short, how history is constructed. This is reflected in many of her works, most particularly in The History Teacher, a novel that tells the tale of a 30-something male teacher who was utterly traumatized by the changes of 1989. My first question was to ask about the genesis of the book.
Well, this is a novel I finished in 2004. First, I wanted to write something for my elder daughter, who was something like 16 years old, and I was tempted by writing something like The Catcher in the Rye by Salinger. But somehow, in Europe, especially here, it's never so realistic like it could be in America. And at the same time, I visited United States, and I was fascinated by this. So this theme of memory, it's very clear if someone with my experience goes to United States. I also met some native people, and you realize what does it mean to be at home, which is the link between this home feeling and history. As this is well known, the natives are the only Americans who had history in this country, in fact. So I started from this point, and I also wanted to put myself in the male perspective. I mostly write with this ich forme, with this first person, but it happens to me very often, I absolutely don't know why that I write from male perspective. And so I wanted to become something like a guy who was one of these hero of student demonstrations in 89, who was very idealistic and who was himself part of this country somehow. So this history teacher called Aaron Kamen has a father who left him. He was in exile in United States, and for him the past was very clear. He was anti-communist, and suddenly to this boy everything is extremely complicated because now he finds himself in a, something like a break of two big eras, and he realizes that being a history teacher, he is in fact rewriting history, because everything is different. For example, Czech lands were extremely cosmopolitan territory until, I don't know, beginning of 19th century. Then during this nationalist movement, this all was step by step forgotten. So, for example, my generation grew up with a feeling that there was nothing but Czechs here. And for me, it was an enormous revelation that I feel bad in this country exactly because I lost this cosmopolitan past of Czech lands. And suddenly it became really my life theme. And of course, what is very important, especially for, I don't know, Western readers, my generation were really growing up with a lot of lies. So now when you really want to find the truth, inevitably you come to the conclusion that you must put yourself in a different perspective, because you have a truth of German Czechs, and you have the truth of Czechs, and you have the truth of Jews, and a lot of people who are living here. For example, I have written one story from the perspective of a woman who belonged to this Italian minority who was working here in 16th or 17th century, because this is also something that interests me very much.
I'd just like to read a short extract from your book, The History Teacher, and this is actually describing the situation before 1989 and already this uncertainty about where the truth lies. My mother never explained anything directly to me, but her ideas were clear from the way she lived. She secretly typed out Samizdat literature, banned intellectuals met in our house to give clandestine lectures. Occasionally when I came home in the evening, the hall would be full of shoes and someone would usually be giving a passionate lecture in the living room. I would join the listeners, and that was how I was told that we were being lied to in school. Because I grew up in two worlds, this seemed natural to me until I reached a certain age. Truth and lies were closely associated, like fact and fiction. Sometimes it was difficult to distinguish the one from the other, and then I would choose the more attractive, the more tolerable option. Should one really not drink tap water? They were probably exaggerating. Or were more people killed during communism than in the war? Probably not. Of course, I wanted to know where the truth lay, but I couldn't stand the fat philosopher who used to lecture in our house about the truth spluttering as he spoke. Above all, I lived in a society where everything bad also had its good side. If anyone had told me that the Americans hadn't landed on the moon and it had all been invented in Hollywood, I would have accepted it as a possibility. Almost any mad hypothesis could be right. Everything was and was not as in a fairy tale. The aftermath of 1989 actually precipitates a nervous breakdown in the history teacher. He somehow seems to represent the psychological suffering and upheaval that people had to adjust to this completely new lifestyle, this capitalist lifestyle.
It starts in the hero himself. For me, what was interesting to create a male figure with, in fact, female qualities, someone who is fragile, who thinks that to be a man doesn't mean to be strong and to hunt mammoths and everything, because this also is changing a lot. So definitely, if you take everything seriously, the nervous breakdown is the only thing that you can do. And what happens to him exactly is that he is losing the meaning of words. I explain it in a very intellectual way, but the intention was to say it in a very, very simple way and in a very clear words. And I was really very happy when my daughter liked it very much, and this book was mostly popular among students, so among people who were really little children in 89, and also among these people who were in the student demonstration. By the way, the issue is something that I really found in archives and in reality. Since December 89, they started to have a special department in a psychiatric clinic in Prague, Bohnice, for young people who were not able to carry this situation psychologically, because it was simply too much. It was enormous energy in the air, and I think that really for someone who didn't sleep for weeks and who really wanted to change the world, this was definitely a nervous breakdown situation, and some people really got stuck in it, I must say, and there were also some suicides. It's very known now.
I'll just read the section of your book which describes exactly this. Life around me wasn't up to much, but it had order and logic. When in 89 they arrested us in the National Avenue and took us to the Bartholomew Street Police Headquarters, I was neither surprised nor afraid. They did it. They were the ones who'd taken over the police informers and the whole system straight from the Gestapo and had improved on it in collaboration with the KGB. In the country, they were the ones who'd set up 400 prisons and labour camps for political prisoners. They were the ones who'd closed the borders, sent into exile a million of the best people, and embittered all those who remained. And they had called my father, no matter what he was like, a criminal, simply because he'd gone to America, and there he'd said aloud what he thought. I firmly believed it would all now collapse, and the great kingdom of truth would prevail. Then, of course, there was no end to my surprise, but while others took it for granted that the other side of the victory of truth and freedom is betrayal, disappointment, filth and chaos, I had a nervous breakdown. You mentioned the very positive reception of your books by the younger generation. I know that for the last 12 years you've been recording the stories of people who were born before 1930. What do you think the younger generation can learn from their stories?
Since 12 years, we shoot with the film director Zdeněk Tyc a TV program, which is called I'm Still Here. And those are interviews with people who are simply old. And it's made like a little documentaries or sometimes even like little fictions. And when we were doing this for the first time, we didn't know really what we wanted to hear. But then if you cut it and if you make from 2 hours of shooting half an hour, this is really fascinating, because you really, not only you got a fascinating life story, but the personality. And step by step you learn first that, for example, being old, it's not a disease, that even in 85 you will be still the same Bernie like now. And you realize that really we put in our modern society old people somehow behind walls, and we lose enormously. Not talking about the fantastic life stories we got during by shooting this altogether 120 programs during all these years.
also another chance to hear other truths and other versions of Czech history.
This was an idea because we are shooting all kind of people. For example, I was extremely interested this year in the opinions of the so-called revisionist communists who were in fact leading this 68 reforming process in Czechoslovakia, because those were people who were in 90s here very much not in favor. But if you hear these people who never got anything from this, you know, who were just idealists, you realize how much this communist revisionist movement were owing to the very honorable working class movement in 19th century, and this was a big school for me.
You are something of an unusual voice in the Czech Republic in terms of your emphasis on cosmopolitanism and how open you are to the idea of the Czech Republic in Europe. How do you see the Czech membership of the European Union as a chance of it growing into another kind of country?
Well, this was always a big chance, but now this is the only chance, and it would be absolute disaster not only to be out of the game, but also to be in something like a second group of membership people. And I'm not very positive about the development, I must say, but I still hope that this energy in younger generation, it's an enormous force.
As well as writing a number of scripts, your active life as a journalist and social commentator, you've written, apart from The History Teacher, another three novels. What's your latest work?
My last novel from 2006 is called Blind Maps. This is about the idea of virtual violence, because I think that the picture of violence can be as dangerous as the violence in reality. I mean, we all need a certain measure of violence or aggressivity, and we all need to hear or read about murders or to see the films, but the problem is that it was originally a psychological quality on a human measure. Now, if you multiply it by milliards and milliards and milliards screens, this is something completely different, because people absolutely don't know what they watch anymore. And we have really hundreds and thousands of proofs that these artificially created pictures jump back to the mind of people and create ideas and reality. So Blind Maps is a story about a man who finds himself in a middle-age crisis. This is my favorite figure, you know, man around 44, 45. A man who achieved really everything he could, family and success in his profession, and suddenly he has an impression that there is nothing. And he feels a big emptiness, and he falls in love, and afterwards this is a big deception because it's even bigger emptiness. And now he falls under this magic of this virtual violence. And because it was about violence, people were buying the book very much. But I don't know if...
Thank you very much, Teresa. We could go on talking a long time about your books and all of the other interesting work you do. So I'd just like to thank you for having me in your home and talking about The History Teacher in particular. Thank you very much.
I thank you.
And that edition of Czech Books with Benny Higgins brings us to the end of today's